that grand appearing of our blessed Savior face to face. I can listen for the shout coming from the eastern sky, when all God's children shall rise. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up in the sky. I've been watching and awaiting, listening for the shout. I've been watching and awaiting, I'm anticipating. I've been watching and awaiting, we'll be celebrating. I've been watching and awaiting, listening for the show.
Wow. We're spoiled here. You guys know that? So you didn't grow up in a small church like me where you got like three people doing this. And if somebody gets sick, we got to cancel. Right? Right? And small churches are great. I'm going to set this right here. Family. But here we have something special. And I think just from the newcomers' perspective, I just want to let you know I'm grateful for it, and I'm sure there are others out here who have been blessed by it. And our greeter team, we were getting together, we were praying today, and we were just spending some time thanking the Lord and asking Him to equip us. And one of the things we were just thinking about together is you, the people we're greeting, and the things that everybody's enduring that we may not even know about. And it's times like this where we're encouraged and we refocus on what matters and what we're waiting on. Okay? And so, praise the Lord. Before we get started with announcements, we're going to have announcements, and we're going to talk a little bit about young adult groups, which is really a small group. And we have Austin here with us today, who's going to be sharing about what God is doing. And so, Austin, why don't you tell us a little bit about.
Well, good morning. So, although we were calling it the college group, we felt it'd be better to call it the young adults group. It's not just for college students or people in college. We're trying to reach out and say young adults, anyone from like 17, mid-20s. We're looking for more people to come and join the group. It's every Sunday, 5:30 to 7, excuse me, at Jim and Amanda, which are somewhere out there. I didn't see them come in. Good morning. It's at, because the bulletin was wrong last week, 7585 Northport Avenue, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Again, 7585. So if you're looking to get any more information, come talk with myself, Kayla, Jim, and Amanda. We'll be happy to share some more information. We're reading the book Jesus Among Other Guides by Ravi Zacharias. Amazing book. Not too hard of a read. Pretty simple. And it's awesome just to be able to talk about relevant events going on in our world and things that we struggle with, things that we see personally, and just share them in a small group with our peers. It's amazing to go out and just talk with other people. So it'd be really awesome if we can get more of you to come in. So I'm personally inviting anyone of young adult age to come up and say hi to me, say hi to Kayla, say hi to anyone that's affiliated with the group. Come and visit us on Sunday. We'd be really happy to have you.
Awesome. Thank you, Austin. So just saying that, address again, 7585 Northport Avenue, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Jim, can I give out your cell phone number right now? Can I just do that? Okay. If you are interested, please take this down, okay? If you just want to give Jim and Amanda a call and encourage them, this is cool too, okay? The telephone number is going to be 269-330-8883. 269-330-8883. Okay. For Upwards Basketball, wow. It was my first Saturday Upwards Basketball. Praise the Lord. We had so many families come out. I wasn't exactly, you know, people try to explain what's going to happen. I wasn't ready. But the Lord worked, and everything was fine. Praise the Lord for good leadership. Praise the Lord for great help. So all our volunteers and our coaches, those working in concessions, those cleaning up, those setting up, those tearing down, thank you big time. It was cool to see God's people at work, and lives were impacted, okay? I just can't even begin to express to you what took place. But what I can do is invite you to come out and pitch in, or maybe just see what's happening. But specifically, I want to say thank you to all those who are contributing, those who have been giving in whatever way. I may not even know what you're doing because I don't need to know. The Lord knows, and he will reward you. Okay. So picture day is next week, Saturday, January 26th, before each game. So we're asking those who are involved, if you're going to be with your team, please arrive, or you're bringing a child, please arrive 25 to 30 minutes early on the 26th, okay? Next deacons meeting, Wednesday, January 23rd at 7:30 p.m. So that'll be right after Bible study, okay? The next LAC meeting, February 5th at 10 a.m. 2018 tithe statements available at the Welcome Center. Next church potluck. Okay, pretty cool. February 10th, that's right, amen, that's right. February 10th, in honor of Valentine's Day, bring your favorite casserole or dessert that you love, salad, rolls, and beverage, and will be provided. Salad, rolls, and beverage will be provided. Human Trafficking Awareness Speaker, February 25th at 11 a.m. Learn more about the growing concerns of human trafficking in our country, our hometown. Beverages and snacks will be provided. Please sign up in the Welcome Center or contact Sister Cheryl at the number listed in the bulletin. Books are in from Carl Baugh. So if you ordered a book and paid for it when Carl was here in November, they are in the church office. Please see Sister Cheryl to get your copy and certificate. Upwards Basketball, I think this is just a reprint. That's okay. It's really important. Okay, good. Small groups begin tonight, right? Woo! Okay. I don't know about y'all. I'm excited, okay? I heard like four other people, and I'm sure the rest of you are rejoicing inside. If you have not signed up for a small group, I'm telling you all, that's where community is really going to just grow deep. We're going to go deep. We're going to get to know each other. We were just in our, you might experience this with your Sunday school classes. I'm experiencing already with our first 12 things about 12th Street study. Thank you, Pastor Thaddeus, for that. Thank you for those who attended. I'm learning so much. We had an awesome study. It's more than just it started in 19 such and blah, blah, blah. No, like we're talking about who we are as a people, who we are as a church. And so I encourage you to go ahead and get out there. Oh, thank you. I caught that. Oh, thanks, Nate Penning. Thanks, Nate. Oh, that was for you? I should have got out of the way. Nate Penning blew us a kiss here because he's a true brother. And Nate Penning is going to be teaching a small group. Isn't that right? Okay, so come to the small groups, okay, because then you get to have relationships like this. All right, praise the Lord. 12 things about 12th Street. I just mentioned a little bit about that, but began today at 10 a.m., and if you're new and would like to learn more about 12th Street, if you've been here for a while and you'd like to know, please consider that, okay? So check the bulletin for more information. Bronson Commons, scheduled for 2019. We need volunteers, okay? So please take a look there. Read more about that and learn that, okay? Wednesday night dinners, okay? Men's basketball, same time. And men's prayer breakfast, same place, same time. Food pantry, we're looking for volunteers. Come and help others in need. See Sister Krista Asher or Lynn Anderson. And that's pretty much it. So I just want to give you all a challenge, the same challenge I've been giving, okay? And that is to greet someone that you don't spend a ton of time speaking with. You know, if I would encourage you, look around for somebody who just maybe the Lord's impressing on you, all right? But what I really encourage you to do is let's I love our families, I love our friends, but let's try and encourage people that we don't even know anything about, okay? And I'm meeting new people, and it's exciting. Please come to me. If you haven't talked to me yet, I'd love to meet you this morning, okay? And then after our service, I encourage you, follow up with them and saying, hey, you going to small group? And do it just like that, too. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that, okay? All right. So, no, seriously, follow up with them again after service, and just let's just fellowship, all right? So I'm going to pray, and then we'll break into our greeting. Father God, you're awesome. We get to hear your word spoken freely. Nobody's kicking in the doors. Nobody's tearing us out of our homes or handcuffing us. We're hearing about horrible, atrocious things like human beings being sold. We're hearing about horrible things like people being divided over policy and politics. We're tearing each other apart over our possessions, families divided, countries at war, people no longer speaking to one another. God, I just pray that you'll come and you'll heal our hearts, heal our land, Lord. But God, above all else, turn us back to you. Give us no rest or satisfaction in any of the toys that once pleased us. But let you be number one in our lives and let us experience the benefit of letting you reign in our homes, in our local communities, in our country, God. But first, you've got to reign in our lives. So we welcome you right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, go ahead. Welcome somebody. Welcome someone.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with The Lion and the Lamb. The world, his blood breaks the chains. make way before the King of Kings. Our God who calls the same is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord? God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Amen. Worship you, Jesus, our King. You are the Lion and the Lamb. No one can stop you, Lord. We worship you also as our Lamb. Your work on the cross conquered death for us and has set us free. We want to say thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have found in you. Our souls magnify you, Jesus, our Lion and our Lamb.
Sin. Lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began, she's over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains.
He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Was and is to come.
all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Here, Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to pour your Spirit out on us, Lord. And Father, we just pray for our pastor this morning, Lord. We just pray you pour your Spirit out on him. Lord, we just pray that our hearts are prepared for the message you have for us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward?
Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we just thank you that you brought everyone here safely and that they can go from here safely, Lord. And we just thank you that they are given this tithe, Lord, and that you will give back to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seems like all I can see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Till you looked at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my pain and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his days are long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am. Shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God.
Thank you, Angie, for that song. What she just sang about was being salty. Did you know that? You get rid of the chains, wipe away every stain, not who you used to be. Because we're salt, right? And because we're salt, we should be salty. So we'll dismiss the children to children's church. And as the children head out, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, all the singing this morning, boy, it all tied together really nicely. We started with heaven, right? The choir sang about looking forward to glory, looking forward to heaven. And then all of our congregational singing was about how we obtain that awesome salvation. And then Angie capped it off right there. I am redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Have you been set free? I hope so. If you haven't, we want you to know this great Lord Jesus that we can get excited about and sing about. A shy pastor greets the wedding guest to the church. He was very nervous and he didn't say much. And as the couple approached the altar, the pastor stepped up to the altar and gave the best speech anyone had ever heard. He was full of confidence, incredibly expressive, and had everyone in fits of laughter. And then after doing the vows with the couple, the pastor was extremely shy again. Barely could even speak a word to anyone. So during the reception, the groom went to the pastor and said, "Why are you so shy? It seemed like you were a different person when you were up at the altar giving that speech." "I know," said the pastor. "That was just my alter ego." Yes, yes, yes. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This morning we are going to look at what Jesus taught on being salty. And it's through part of the greatest message that's ever been preached. So I'm just stealing from the greatest message that's ever been preached. Because that's all that preaching is stealing from the greatest book that's ever been written. Right? So the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at some excerpts from the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And the thing that Jesus preached, it was all about being a preservative of God's attitudes. That's what these verses are about. Us being preservatives of God's attitudes. First of all, before we read the passage, I just want to talk about salt for a second, because we're supposed to be salty. Okay? Salt is the combination of sodium and chlorine. And when they come together, one of the electrons from the sodium goes and joins the chlorine with an ionic bond, creating chloride. And now as they come together, it's explosive. This is the reaction that takes place. I showed you a video a couple weeks ago. There's this explosion that takes place. And sodium chloride forms as these little white granules that have some distinct properties. One of the properties that takes place with sodium chloride when it comes together and becomes salt, salt is water absorbent. And so it removes water from any food. And not just water, but when you have meat and you have blood in that meat, you pack it in salt, it actually will absorb the blood out. And in a couple weeks, we'll talk about this more, but that's how kosher meat becomes kosher. Did you know that? You know what makes it kosher? You pack it in salt and it sucks the blood out. And so when the blood is sucked out, then it's now kosher to eat. In the absence of water, bacteria have a hard time multiplying. So when you add salt to food, it dries the food and makes it difficult for bacteria and microbes to reproduce. And that's what slows the decaying process of the food. So when we add salt to foods, it causes the microbial cells to undergo osmotic shock. Okay? Osmotic. There we go. Osmosis. Osmotic shock. The loss of water from the cells causes cell death or retarded growth in those microbial cells that are harmful. For some microorganisms, salt limits oxygen solubility to the microbe and interferes with cellular enzymes, or it causes cells to expend so much energy that they cannot grow. Now, microbes and bacteria, they do not like to be exposed to salt. They will fight back. But when there is no salt microbes, the bacteria actually will grow and thrive.
So here's what Jesus is telling us when he tells us that we are salt. You are combating evil in this world. You are a presence to stand in the face of the evils of this world. We literally preserve the truth of God in this world when we enact the attitudes that Jesus gives us here in Matthew chapter 5. We absorb the attitudes of evil. We kill them with the powerful agent of Christ-like behavior. And so instead of looking at these, there are 9 Beatitudes we're going to look at in just a minute. Instead of looking at them like we have in the past, I want to try to look at them a little bit differently. I want to break them down into 3 categories. And in these 3 categories, what we have to understand, everything we're talking about this morning is being Christ-like. How many of you here call yourself Christian? Just raise your hand. All right? Raise your hand. All right, good, good. Do you know what, when you call yourself Christian, you know what you're actually calling yourself? Little Christ. Do you know that's what a Christian is? Is a little Christ. So the Christ-like attitudes, if we are truly Christian, then we should have these in our lives. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, that's Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word. Bless our time here. Help us to understand the great things that you've taught. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, these verses are usually called the Beatitudes because they're attitudes they're supposed to be part of our life. Okay? Somebody clever came up with that and it stuck. All right, for 12th Street for 2019, these are the salty attitudes. Right? Because he gives us these 9 characteristics, these 9 attitudes to have, and then he says, "You are salt." So you know what these are? These are the salty attitudes. You want to know how to be salty? It's right here. It's given for us. So as we look at the salty attitudes, these attitudes are poor in spirit, mourning over sin, meek, hunger and thirsting after righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemaker. This is the be salty list. So when Jesus says in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth," don't lose your savor, you're good for nothing. He's already told us in verses 1 through 12 how to be salty. Now, be this. So let's review again how we became salt. See, we weren't born salt. We were born our own element, just like sodium and chloride are their own elements. They have to come together to become salt. And so here's what happened in us. Galatians 2:20. It tells us, it says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. See, when you come to this point in your life, when death is arrested and your life truly begins, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's what happens. You are crucified with Christ. All of your sin, all of your wrong is put on the cross with Christ. And then Christ lives in you. So here's what happens. There's an elemental change that takes place in your life. You are no longer your own element. Now you are combined with Christ. Now you are truly Christian. And here's how Jesus describes it. You are the salt of the earth. You don't have to try to be the salt. You are salt. Now, the challenge is be salty. Christ lives in us. We should be salty. So the first characteristic, group of characteristics that we find in this passage, this is number one in your bulletins, it's that we should be Christ-reliant, not self-reliant. Christ-reliant, not self-reliant. So he gives us three things. Poor in spirit. Mourn. And meek. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, your value has to come from Christ. Now that makes you a treasure. But you yourself, you are poor in your spirit. He'll make you rich in his. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is Kingdom of heaven. Is there any greater kingdom? Where the streets are paved with gold? Where there's a mansion for every believer? Is there anything richer than that? How do you obtain that? It's poor in spirit. When you're reliant on God, when you're reliant on Jesus Christ for your value, poor in yourself is rich in him. We live in a really sick, twisted, perverted world, don't we? It's just awful what we see happening. I remember when I was a kid, you know, it was like 5-10 years ago when I was a kid, and at least I feel that way, you know. I remember the message that was given, like it was even on TV, and it was even in secular programming. It's embrace who you are. You are wonderful, right? You know what the world tells us today? No, you're not. You have to be something else. You were born a boy, you need to be a girl. You're born a girl, you need to be a boy. And if you don't want to make up your mind, just be neutral. And there's no embracing how God has made us. We live in a world that tells us that you can only find your best when your best is accepted by everybody else in society. Well, since we all think differently, then I just need to listen to the right person. I'm still trying to figure out which person that is, because there's a whole bunch of them in Washington that want to tell us what is the best, right? And you see, everything is pulled that our value comes from somebody else's opinion. My value comes from his opinion and no one else's. And if you're looking for your value to come from somewhere else, you will fall flat, you will fail, you will be discouraged, and you will never find yourself. You want to find your true self? Find who you are in Jesus Christ. Poor in spirit is relying on Jesus Christ to tell you your worth. And what is your worth? Yours is the kingdom of heaven. The world can't give that to you. He tells us that we should mourn. To be reliant on Christ is to mourn. So I'm supposed to be like this, you know, Eeyore type person, right? Woe is me. No, that's not what it means. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. So what is this whole mourning thing? We mourn over sin. And if you say, well, I don't sin, then you deceive yourself. The truth is not in you. You say, well, I haven't sinned. Well, now you're making God a liar and his word is not in you. Because we are all sinners. And because we're sinners, when we sin, those who rely on Christ, we mourn over that sin. I hope this one hits home. When's the last time you cried over your sin? I know, you're like, I'm a man. I'm a woman. Hear me roar. I don't cry. No, we should cry over sin. We should be mournful over our sin. And those who mourn are comforted. Well, how does he comfort those who are mourning? He forgives us. Man, when we mourn over our sin, he forgives us, and now I'm comforted. And he says, the meek. What is it to be meek? You know, there's only one person in all of the Bible who's called meek? His name's Moses, okay? Moses led God's people out of Israel. There are about 2 million, or out of Egypt. There are about 2 million of them that live in Egypt, and they were slaves. They were making bricks for the pyramids. And every time they made Pharaoh upset, he took the straw away and made them have to go make their own materials and make the bricks. And it was a terrible, hard life. And so God used Moses to take them out of Egypt to bring them to the brink of the land that we now call today Israel. And this guy Moses, as he leads these 2 million people, they're a bunch of complainers. They were just awful. God, we're hungry. So God sends them manna, which is literally bread from heaven. Sweet, honey-tasting bread. They don't even have to make it. They just walk outside, pick up what they need for the day, go back inside and eat. I mean, come on, what kind of life is that? Man, God, all you give us is bread. I want meat. That might have been me. All right, I'm just being honest. I am just being honest. Bread may not have done it for me. I might have been one of those people out front like, God, I need meat. So you know what God did? God sends these quails. And they just kind of land right there. And the people go out and whatever meat they need, they just get. Now they got to prepare that a little bit, but still, they don't have to hunt for it. So you know what they say next? So sick of this food. No variety. Now I'm thirsty. Give me so much food. Now I'm thirsty. You know, every time Moses just goes to God and says, hey, God, the people are saying this. And God's like, yeah, I know. And Moses is like, yeah. What can you do, God? You know? And God provides every time. The second time they ask for water, though, he's mad because these people are just a bunch of complainers. First time they needed water, God said, hit this rock. He hit the rock and water poured out. This time God says, do not hit the rock, speak to it. Moses walks up to the rock. People are complaining. He's like, I'm going to give you water, just a minute. Yeah, but is it Evian water? Is it Crystal Springs water, God? And Moses takes a stick. He's like, man, he hits that rock and water comes pouring out. And God's like, whoa, Moses, I told you to speak to it. And Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land because of that. I'm looking at that and I'm going, if that's all it took, I'm still dying over the meat. He was meek because he was humble. He took the complaint and he just dealt with it. And where did he go when they complained? Where did he go when they put him down? I mean, at one point, they're like, Moses, we don't believe God speaks through you. Even though every time Moses goes up on the mountain, there's lightnings and earthquakes and all these crazy things happen. And they're like, yeah, it's all coincidence. And so they have this contest. And in this contest, Moses is standing on one side and Korah and Dathan and Abijam are standing on the other side. And Moses is like, God, if I'm your servant, do something new, open the ground, swallow them up, and close it back up. And the ground goes whoop, and the people that were standing on the other side all fall in, and it closes back up. A little bit later, some people come to Moses and say, hey, Moses, remember when you killed those people? When I killed them, God did that. Yeah, I don't know what kind of voodoo you got, but man, that was mean what you did. Moses was meek. There's not one of us here who God is speaking to any more clearly than he spoke to Moses. And so when other people don't go along with what we're saying, when they're difficult, we should act in humility. We should be meek. When we're Christ-reliant, not self-reliant, we are meek. When we're self-reliant, we strike back. We're not humble. Dennis Waitley wrote a book called Empires of the Mind. And in it, he said that there are 450,000 words in the English language, but we only use 80% of those words in our normal conversation. I'm sorry. We only use 400 words. We don't use 80% in our normal conversation. And the four most common words used in the English language are I, me, my, mine. Four most common words we use in the English language. Folks, that's not being meek. That's something entirely different. And Jesus said, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. The second thing, the second category. So the first category is reliant on Christ. The second category is desire things of Christ. So Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What do we hunger for? What do we thirst for? When I was in college and I played college football, I could not wait for Saturdays. We would practice all week long, and Saturday was game day. It was all worth it. All right. In life, we go out and we practice what we are preached. I hope we do this all week long. And you know what Sunday is? It's game day. Do you hunger and thirst all throughout the week for the righteousness of God to be in your life? Boy, I hope when you're here, you really feel like, man, I'm meeting with God. But that shouldn't be just when you're here. That should be every day. When you get up, when you start, when you're in your car on your way to work, when you get to work, when you're with all these lawless, godless individuals. You know what? You're hungering and you're thirsting after righteousness. And you're meeting with your God. Because you know what happens to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? They are filled. You are never empty. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we desire the things of Christ, we are salty. Blessed are the merciful. The merciful give good in exchange to those who give you bad. The merciful know how to dispense good to those who give them bad. I was doing a this was not here, so don't look around and go, I wonder who said that. was doing a Bible study one time, and a guy, he goes, yeah, you know how the Bible says do unto others as they do unto you. Let me say that again. You know how the Bible says do unto others as they do unto you? No, it doesn't. It says do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's being merciful. When someone gives me hardship, when they make my life difficult, and I turn around and I try to make their life better, and I try to help them. Merciful. Because those who are merciful receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart, this just really identifies for us desiring the things of Christ. Because the pure in heart truly have clean motives. And in your life, God wants you to have clean motives as you live. So when you desire the things of Christ, you're salty. Then the third category, engage the world as Christ did. So then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, peacemakers do not stir the pot, but seek restoration and reconciliation. Restoration is bringing back the person who has wandered away. Let me make something really clear, 12th Street Baptist Church. It is never our job to punish anybody. And if we as a body ever think that, let's punish that person, we're wrong. The church is called to discipline. What is discipline? Discipline is pull back, steer back, guide them back to restore them. Never to punish them. You know who punishes? God, and he'll do a much better job of it than any of us or all of us could ever do. And reconciliation. Here's the work that Jesus did. He came to reconcile all things to himself. And he wants to reconcile you and I to himself. And so here's what a peacemaker does. We exhibit that same attitude. We engage the world as Christ did. We are peacemakers. Some of you are pacemakers. You're hurting a lot of people's hearts out there, and they need help with their heart when they're done dealing with you, because you're a pacemaker. You make the need for a heart monitor be a peacemaker. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When you're willing to be mistreated for doing right, that's when you're salty. Because Jesus was mistreated all the time. He was the one who literally wrote the law and gave the law to Moses. And as Moses wrote it down, and it was incorporated into the scriptures, Jesus wrote that. He spoke that. And then he has these Pharisees tell him, you always breaking that law, Jesus. He never broke the law. He wrote it. He lived it. He fulfilled it. And so when somebody comes after you and you're doing right, and they come after you and they say, oh my, you can't do that. You can't pray in a public place. You can't talk about Jesus like that. You can't tell them that their religion is not true. Well, you know what? They can tell me mine's not true. It doesn't bother me. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's it. If I tell somebody the truth, it's because I love them. If I hate you, I'll tell you, yeah, all roads get to heaven. But if I love you, I'll say Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because that's what Jesus said. And if you get persecuted because you're willing to stand for righteousness, truth, You're blessed because you are engaging the world as Christ did. And then he said, blessed are they who are when you are reviled, persecuted, falsely accused. Because you know what's happening? You're receiving the same treatment that Christ received and his prophets did. And you're engaging the world just like Christ wants you to. When these attitudes fill our lives and pour out of our being, then we begin to take the microbial harmful bacteria of sin out of the world and we put it to death. In its place, we live a tasty, good, preserving power that combats the evils in our world. We need to be RDE, reliant on Christ. Desire Christ. Engage the world like Christ. When I was 35 years old, at that time, Kayla was what, 8, Jenna was 7, Leah was 4. I think I'm doing my math right. And I got called to go to this house. It was an hour and a half away from where we lived. Okay? There was no way this person was ever going to be in our church. And I didn't know the person. I was just told, they're going to die tonight. They need to speak to you. And I'm like, you know how many pastors there are? You know how many other people could go do this? And they're like, please, just go. So I jumped in my car. I remember it was a day like yesterday. Snowy, nasty, cold day. And so I drove, and man, this place was hard to find. I got lost twice. It was just awful. GPS wasn't like really good back then. And so I was using a map. And it was tough. So finally, I get there. And it was supposed to be an hour and a half away. It took me over 2 hours to get there. So I walk in the door, and the respite nurse is there, and she's like, thank you so much. Please go talk to him right away. So I walk in. This guy's 35 years old, same age as me. He weighs about 85 pounds. He'd been dealing with cancer for a few years, and he was literally on his deathbed. So I went in, and he could make noises. He couldn't, like, talk, but he was making noises, but he could respond to what you were saying. And so I shared with him Jesus. He had his 8-year-old daughter and his 6-year-old daughter and his 3-year-old daughter that were sitting at the foot of the bed. And I'm looking at it going, oh my goodness, this is me and my family. And so I told him about Jesus. And I said, do you want to trust Jesus? And he said, yes. And so I prayed, and he couldn't really talk. I prayed, and I said, did you pray with me? And he squeezed my hand, and I literally felt the life leave his body as he was squeezing my hand. And I thought, my goodness, if I hadn't been the preservative of life for Jesus today, this man might have died and gone to hell. A couple days later, there was a viewing. The family asked me to do the funeral. He was divorced, but his ex-wife was there when he died, and she's like, please, you know, can you do the funeral? So I was there at the viewing, and I was walking through the hallway, and the 3 little girls were sitting on a bench, and I went over and said hi to them. And the 8-year-old, she grabbed my hand. She said, thank you for telling my daddy about Jesus. She said, when you were praying, my sisters and I prayed too. And someday we're going to see daddy in heaven. See, here's what we have to do. We have to be salt. Because we bring life. We expel death. Brian Cooper, this is a little while ago, he got a call. Family members wanted him to come and meet another family member that was dying, and he called me and said, well, you know, give me some things to talk about. Give me some scripture. Let's pray. And so we prayed, and he got there, and he shared Jesus with them. And at the very hour of need, Brian Cooper, who's not a pastor, he's just a dude like all of you, he shared Jesus. He was life. He expelled the death. We are salt. Let's be salty. Lord God, thank you that you call us to be salty. I pray that we would be reliant on Jesus Christ, that we would desire the things of Christ, and that we would engage the world as Christ did. Thank you that we can do this. Every single person here who has trusted Jesus can do this. So now, Lord, the challenge for us is, are we salt? Or, Lord, maybe today there are some people here that they are still their own element. They've never had Jesus Christ come into their life and take up residence. They've never become a Christian. And if, Lord, if there's anyone like that today, I pray through the message of the song that we sang and through this closing time that they would trust in Jesus Christ who died on the cross to forgive them for their sin so that they could have eternal life. And Lord, I pray for the Christian. Thank you that you told us that we can be these things. And we're blessed when we do. Help us to rely on Jesus Christ, desire the things of Christ, and engage the world like you did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and Rachel's going to sing a song here called Testimony. You're invited to sing with her. And as she sings it, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to stand here at the front. Just come up here and tell me, I want to trust Christ. And this will be the greatest thing that ever happens to you, and this will be the best thing that happens to me today for you to trust Christ. And if you're a Christian, you go, yep, I know I'm saved. Okay, you are salt. And if you're not salty, then just get up here, get on your knees, and confess it to Christ. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. And you can leave here salty. Because that's what we need to be, 12th Street. We need to be salty. Washed away. It is the third Sunday of 2019, and some of you are batting 1,000. How cool is that, right? And some of you are batting over 600, close to 700. You would be in the Hall of Fame. Some of you are batting 333. You would still be in the Hall of Fame. Praise God, right? We are called to be salty. Let's go live it. Lord God, thank you for calling all of us. Thank you that you don't just call Pastor Carl. You don't just call me. You don't just call the deacons or the praise team or the Sunday school teachers. You've called all of us to be salty. I pray that we would go into this world. We would suck the evil right out of it. I pray that we would infuse this world with the goodness of Jesus Christ. So now unto the Lamb who was slain, be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever. We all say in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.